Hello, my name is Paul Kearney. I'm Professor of Politics and Public Policy, and this is a series of short podcasts to accompany my series of blog posts, which introduce key public policy concepts and theories in 1,000 words. This one's like a bonus podcast. It's on the intersection between evidence-based policymaking and policy transfer. Now, what I'm trying to do here is show you the potential benefits of generating new insights on policymaking by combining the insights of individual concepts. Now, as I say in the post, this is pretty tricky to do, and I think even the description I give you, it might not seem completely convincing, but let's go with it just now. So I combine three concepts: policy transfer, on which there's a separate post; bounded rationality, for which there's a separate post; and evidence-based policymaking, for which I give you lots of different posts and information. And what I'm trying to do is combine those concepts to identify a major dilemma faced by central government policymakers when they're trying to use evidence to identify what they think is a successful policy solution, then consider how to import it, perhaps from another country, or, this phrase, scale it up, which is, try and work out if they should use the same successful intervention that's apparent in one region and, ensure the diffusion across many regions. Now, the theme I want to focus on is there are some choices about evidence which seem to almost determine your choice of transfer. So the question I want you to think about is, here's a range of possibilities for central government. One is, when they're thinking about the best evidence, they're talking about randomized controlled trials to establish the effectiveness of interventions. And these seem to require uniform national delivery because what they're interested in is fidelity to a program to ensure the correct dosage of an intervention and to make sure that they can use another RCT to evaluate the success of that intervention and its dosage. Or do they go another way and encourage practitioners to tell stories to each other, stories of good practice or good governance, and invite people to learn from those stories and adapt them to local circumstances? Now, what I'll suggest is these two choices are inextricably linked. Your choice of good evidence influences and perhaps even determines your judgment on the mode of policy transfer you adopt. Okay, so let's get into that first by making sure we know what the insights are from each concept. So from studies of policy transfer, we know that central governments do one or both of two things. They import policies from other countries, or they encourage the spread or diffusion of policies they think are successful within their own regions. Now, the question there, though, is, how do they use evidence to identify success and decide how to deliver programs? Then from studies of evidence-based policymaking, we know that there's a residual complaint from scientists, particular scientific professions, who identify an evidence policy gap in which policymakers seem to ignore the evidence of a problem that they provide, or they don't select the best evidence-based intervention that they tell them about. So the question there is, can policymakers do this process so simply as they suggest? Can they identify the best evidence and roll out or scale out the best evidence-based solutions? Now, of course, I'm implying that they can't. Then, from studies of these other concepts, bounded rationality, the policy cycle, and then we compare them with other theories which criticize or critique those ideas, we know that it's unrealistic to think that a policymaker at the heart of government, heart of central government, can simply identify this great solution, click their fingers, and then see it carried out. This doesn't describe the policy process in any system. Now, this limitation, I would say, is more pronounced if you're identifying systems which have so-called multi-leveled governance or the diffusion of policy-making power across many levels and types of government. So, even if they were not limited by bounded rationality, they would still face practical and normative questions practical limits to their control of the policy process. So whenever they are interested in making policy across their jurisdiction, they have to think about the extent to which they can oblige other bodies to deliver what they ask. Then they have this normative dilemma. How far should you go to try and control that subnational policymaking to ensure the delivery of a good policy solution? Do they require uniformity because it's a great solution or because central governments, you know, are in charge? Or do they do something else? Do they encourage discretion, you know, even if it means not adopting the policy they favour? Okay, so let's combine those issues, insights, questions to produce what I would say is a major policy transfer dilemma for central government policymakers in three steps. First step is, if they're subject to bounded rationality, they have to use shortcuts to identify what they think are the best sources of evidence on the policy problem and, you know, the best sources of evidence on a solution, evidence-based solutions. At the same time, number two, they have to determine if there's convincing evidence of success from another country or from a particular region within their jurisdiction to see if they want to import policy from another country or scale up, roll out, diffuse a solution that seems to be successful in one of its regions. Then they need to think about how they're going to spread success or diffuse. So either by ensuring that the best policy, according to them, is adopted by all regions within its jurisdiction, or accepting that their role in this process is limited. They identify what they think is a best policy or best practice, and they don't go beyond encouraging subnational governments or policymakers to adopt particular policies. Now, what I suggest to you is that you look at how closely connected these questions are about transfer and evidence, because I reckon our judgment of the best evidence can produce or determine a judgment on how you scale up success or transfer. So I try and pursue that argument by giving you three ideal type approaches, three different ways in which you might determine how you use evidence to transfer or scale up what you think are successful policies or interventions. And I'd say in at least two cases, that choice of evidence almost determines, or certainly in the first case, seems to determine your choice of transfer. So have a look at that table, and in fact that comes from the further reading that I give you at the end, in which there are also sort of concrete examples of each time something close to the ideal type. So, but if you look at approach one in that table, you'll see, well, you gather evidence of effectiveness drawing on a hierarchy of evidence. Now, this is particularly prominent in evidence-based medicine, in which you decide that there's a clear hierarchy of evidence gathering, and at the top, or second from the top, are randomized controlled trials, and at the top are the systematic reviews of those trials. And I'll give you a further reading that gets into that hierarchy, which is kind of well established in some fields. Now, there's a clear knock-on effect for how you scale up, because the suggestion here is you have to introduce the same model in each area. You need policy uniformity, because these interventions require fidelity to that model to make sure you administer the correct dosage and make sure that you can measure its effectiveness with an RCT. Now, look at how this approach contrasts with approach two, in which you reject this hierarchy of evidence and therefore place greater value on other sources of evidence, such as practitioner knowledge and service user feedback. You do not necessarily scale up, and you certainly don't use a uniform model. Instead, what you do is you identify good practice or good governance principles by telling stories to each other based on your experience, and then you invite other people to learn from them. There's a high level of discretion involved, even though you may be committed to a particular kind of intervention. Then I show you an approach number three, in which you do some kind of mix of these things. You gather evidence of effectiveness based on your different kinds of evidence. You see the importance of randomized controlled trials, but you want to introduce policy solutions relatively quickly, or you're willing to entertain a mix of evidence, because what you're focusing on is scaling up in a particular way by asking local practitioners to experiment with solutions based on the available evidence and gather data on their success. And essentially, you know, if it works, keep doing it. If it doesn't, or it works better somewhere else, consider emulating them. And, you know, crucially, in these cases, the practitioners are trained in what are called improvement methods, and there are particular improvement methods available. But the particular comparison I would focus on is between approaches one and two, because they show us a strong link between a judgment of evidence and a judgment of transfer. Approach one seems to require particular methods to gather evidence, and therefore high policy uniformity when you transfer solutions. Approach two, which, you know, it seems very different, places more faith in the knowledge and judgment of practitioners to gather evidence, and more faith in the discretion of practitioners when you deliver policies. So, you know, what I would say is our choice of what counts as good evidence-based policymaking can determine our choice on policy transfer and diffusion. Or if you choose a different way to diffuse or transfer policy, then, you know, for some, this precludes good evidence-based policymaking. And I think that's, you know, it's one of these big debates in policymaking that is often overlooked by a kind of general focus on evidence-based policy and policy-based evidence. You know, people don't agree on what you do to secure the best evidence. You know, do you use a hierarchy or you know, many sources of evidence, and what you do with that evidence? And we, you know, we can skate over that kind of issue by talking about these very broad, vague terms. Now, where do we go from here? I've given you some further reading where I give you concrete examples, and I'll give you a draft paper with much more depth there. They both relate to the research I've done on so-called prevention policy, and I'll give you a link to that to describe what it is. And I've said, finally, the examples I give you are from the research I've done in the Scottish Government and UK Government. But if you bear with me, I'll give you this paper in the future that tries to convince you that these issues are, you know, are sort of, to some extent, universal. Okay, thank you.